Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to go into communion. As I asked Randy if he would come and administer the elements. So as you know, once a month, first part of the month, we do corporate communion. The other times, the other Sundays, we have a table set in the back to where you can have your own time on your own, with your family. And we always want to have communion available to you every Sunday. But every first Sunday, we'd like to join together. And so as the servants are passing out the communion cups, hold on to them until Randy is ready to administer the words. And when it's done, then you can pass them over to one side or the other. And one of the servants will collect them from you. Thank you so much for being a part of something so special to us. Amen.
I got it. Good morning. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The communion should be the most important part of our Christian walk. You know, in John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Amen. You know, and Paul told the Corinthian church, there's only one reason that you're getting sick. There's only one reason that you're dying prematurely. He didn't say there's 10 reasons why you're suffering. One reason, you're not taking the communion. So when we take the communion, it's not a ritual. It's not a once a month thing. It should be a daily thing. When we take communion, it's medicine for us. You say, Brother Randy, how can grape juice and a piece of cracker be more powerful than chemotherapy for cancer? One bite in a forbidden fruit created all the sickness in the whole world. And now he goes, by eating my flesh and drinking my blood, I'm going to restore everything back to the garden. Amen? So now when we take this communion, we are taking it because we know it's supernatural. It's in faith we take this elements, and it produces perfect health, divine health, and the enemy can't touch us. And that's why he said, you come to me, you will never hunger. You believe in me, you'll never thirst. You don't have to worry about eating, right? You come to Jesus. He provides for your every need. Amen? On the night, let's all stand up. Let's all stand up here. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. He says, do it often in remembrance of me. Amen. And it's for our healing. Say, thank you, Lord, for our healing. By his stripes, we are healed. By eating his body, we are healed. We are made restored. Amen. Let's take a bite of the flesh here.
All right.
In like manner, he said, this is my blood that's poured out for the remission of sins. Do it often until I return. Do it often in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the blood here. We thank you, Lord, this day that your hand is upon this church, upon everyone here. We thank you that there's supernatural health flowing through everybody this day. No sickness can dwell in you. No sickness can touch you. No sickness can come in your house. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We are restored. We thank you, Lord. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless.
I just want to praise God. I just want to worship him. I just want to shout out loud of how good he is. He is so awesome. He is so wonderful. And seeing my family here united, coming together, I have it all. I have whatever he's given. I might have some scars on my tongue for biting them, but God is good, and he will take care of it. The battle does not belong to me. The battle belongs to him. So I thank him, and I praise him, and I'm excited just to be a child of God and see my family. They are so awesome. And this is my extended family, so I have it all.
You know, when the Bible talks about life and life more abundantly, it means life and life more abundantly. See, that's the thing, is God's word is truth no matter what. Religion gets in the way because people try to interpret things the way they want to interpret them or the way they think they should be interpreted. But that's the difference between having a relationship with God and just going through the motions of religion. See, we believe in a God that is living. The Bible tells us that his word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing even bone and marrow. See, that's the thing. Only the one true God can divide what's the truth between what's not. See, it's the power in knowing who God is, not just believing in a God. See, there's a difference. I've heard people talk about how religion can cause so many problems in the world and that it causes all these divisions and it causes all these... No, humans cause division. God brings peace and unity. See, it's the complete opposite. But when people read words in a book and they're not going after the one who wrote the book, there can be a lot of confusion. See, God is ready and willing and able to do more abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ask or think. But so often, it's us who gets in the way because of what we think should happen. See, the Holy Spirit in our lives was a gift for a reason, because it allowed us to no longer have to go through this ritual of somebody else, but allowed us to have one-on-one communication with God every single day, anytime we wanted, whenever we needed him, whenever we were going to call upon him, whenever, all the time. But so often we don't even tap into this yet because we just don't realize that we can hear from God one-on-one. See, God will answer every single question that you ever have. And he will also make clear to you things that you feel don't make any kind of sense if you just go after him. See, the word, it's the reason when you open it and you read one thing, you can be knowing that God's saying this, and then the next time you read it, God's giving you something different because he will speak to you through it. He will show you exactly what he's saying, exactly what you need in your life in the moment that you need it, exactly the tools that you need to move forward into what he already knows is to come. See, come on, church. See, this is where it becomes a powerful tool in our life, where we begin to see that overflow, right? That ability to shine bright, not because of who we are, but because of who God is in us. See, when you begin to act different than the way the world acts, it's because of who he is in you, not because of anything you do on your own. See, we're not going to be the ones who necessarily heal people. God will heal people through us. We won't be the ones to lift burdens on people. God will do it through us. But that's the thing, is we got to be listening to what he's saying. We become most valuable to the people around us when we're immersed in what God's doing in our lives. See, it's a focus on God. This week, I saw, it's been like a theme in my life, because I saw this week there was like this thing on, I don't even know if it was Instagram or TikTok, but it's a dog, right? And the owner's like shooting all of these things at the dog with a hockey stick. And the dog's like in the goal, right? And that dog, man, all these toys going and he's just waiting, waiting, waiting. But as soon as he hits that hockey puck, that dog's like on it. And I really liked it because it's how things are in our lives, right? All these little things can be flying at us and trying to distract us from what God's doing in our life. But if we would just stay focused on what's important, if we would just stay focused on who God is and what he's doing, focused on just going after him regardless of what we see, we'd begin to see things in our lives that we never even imagined. See, what you think is the greatest in your life, God has even greater. If you're still here, he's still doing stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think you're retired, because God says, I got more for you. And it doesn't mean that he's saying, I got work for you. It means that he's saying, I got things that are going to bless you. Things that are going to minister to you. Things that you're going to want in your life, because it is the life more abundantly in your life. See, life is better his way. Every time we try to do it on our own, just even look at the Bible. Every time that people tried to do it on their own, kings tried to do it on their own, it was always better the way God told them to do it. That's one of the most amazing things. One of the things I love about reading in 1 Kings and 2 Kings is you get so many king stories, right? And that's the thing, is there's so many times though, right, that they felt that they were so backed in a corner, like, we're going down. There's no way God's getting us out of this one. But God always had a way when they thought there was no way. And it's not changed. Just because it happened way then, when kings were still around, you are royalty in a kingdom even now. And God is still doing the same thing, making a way where there is no way. See, the church begins to rise up and becomes a shining light in this world when we realize that that is what's important. The closet time, the time spending one-on-one with God on a regular basis to hear what he's saying, what he wants for us, and how he's moving us is the most important things that we could do, and it's the most effective you will become. Hallelujah. God's, I can feel it so strong. God is really wanting to speak to somebody about, he is not done yet. There is so much more. And when we say so much more, it's things that God will begin to just open up in your life. It's revelation that takes place, and then it just begins to give you all of these things that you may not have even thought of that you would be doing.
Good morning. Always having a poem. So this is just a poem I wrote. It's really a prayer to God. And it goes like this. Father, have me fix my eyes on you and look into your face. Have me not lose sight of you while running life's long race. Have me gaze into your word, the bread that makes me whole, so I may help some weary one cleanse their aching soul. Please have me keep my heart on you, for you alone are true. Have me follow on your path as nothing else will do. I want, Lord, to be busy. I desire your servant heart. Please cleanse mine. Make me ready for whatever you impart. Please, Father, have me ready for any mission you have planned, offering your service provided from your hand. I am only one of many tools you use upon the earth. You know my potential. Have me yielding to your work.
Yeah, come on. Awesome.
I had a dream last night, and I dreamt that I went back to work at Raytheon. But when I went back, everything was different. And my departure papers had recorded that I was a thief, a liar, I was lazy, and all these different things that I wasn't. And I asked the Lord when I woke up, I said, what is this dream all about? And he said, once you move forward, never look back. Because you have changed, you are different than what you were before. And in our Christian walk, we keep walking forward, we keep learning more and more things, and it turns us into a different person than we were before. The Lord wants us to keep walking forward and not looking back all the time on what life used to be, not looking back on the world, but looking forward to the kingdom, looking forward to meeting up with our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to keep walking forward and never look back. This is what he's called us to do. Thank you.
I love the line in this song that says, when I thought I lost me, you know where I left me? Because we know God never leaves us, right? We're the ones that walk away. We were singing that. I was thinking about like all the people that I grew up in church with and the ones that I thought had such a strong relationship with God. And looking at them now, you know, you lose contact when you become grown-ups. Life happens. And seeing, you know, where some of them are now, and it's like, oh my gosh, how did you get so far away? But it doesn't matter because God knows where they are, right? And I love that line also. It says, you reintroduced me to your love. And I just want to tell you guys, we are part of that reintroduction to his love. I don't think we've probably ever heard anyone in our life saying, whoa, calm down, you're loving me too much, okay? Right? Everybody needs love, okay? And that's the greatest thing we can do. Somebody told me recently that I'm a friend to the friendless, and that's what Jesus was, right? Jesus loved everybody. He didn't care what their past was. He didn't care how much was in their bank account. He didn't care their social status. He loved them right where they were, no matter their circumstance. So I just want to remind you guys that you're part of anyone that has walked away from God. You're part of that reintroduction of his love.
So I came up to say, because the Lord has been really putting this on me, but even when I did my short sermon at Fine Arts, it was kind of mainly about what happened to me and my diagnosis. And this just feels like more of a calling, because I was called at youth camp to be a pastor. But my diabetes, I felt, held me back from it. But now God is showing me that, like Terry said, was the past. And I just need to keep going forward, because I have so much left in store for me, and know that I can touch other people and help other people get to God. and like help them see how amazing he is, and like the title of my sermon, how worth it he is. And that's why even recently, a couple weeks ago, I went into the hospital again and almost went back into DKA. But I was able to get out of it, and they were able to take me out, and I'm fine. And then this week, I was nominated for Most Influential Youth for AZ19. And I got an award yesterday for it, and it just shows that I'm trying to work hard to show everybody just how worth it God is, and that no matter what, whatever you went through, whatever you are going through, it doesn't matter, to just keep walking through it, because God is going to lead you to where it's just going to be amazing and it's going to change.
Hello? Oh, hey, good morning. I was going to say, I give up. Yeah, and my wife was just up here just before Lonnie. And I'm just, man, you love me too much.
Always.
No, just kidding. thank you, worship team. When we say worship team, too, also, don't forget those guys in the back. Yeah. These poor guys, like, stuck behind everything, you know? Yeah. Might not see them. Yeah. Also, thank you, pastors, for making this place where it's not just about, you know, pastors. It's about all of us ministering to one another. Because, like, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. So before we get started, if you would stand with me and, let's go into prayer. Lord, I just ask that, you make your presence known and felt here today, that your word sinks in, that also, Lord, that we are changed, we are closer to you after, and that we just love you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I mean, I'm not usually the guy like points out the sermon title or anything, but today it's called Ready for Battle. I don't know about you, but it seems like some things are pretty crazy lately, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very crazy. I've said it before, but you know, I work in forensics, and you know, I get to see the worst of people. And the thing that is like concerning to me is like just seeing how much worse it's getting, and then also how much younger it's starting. Yeah. Where I'm seeing the 14, 15-year-olds being charged with homicide. And it's not just, you know, a one-off occurrence. It's something is happening more and more and more. And, I mean, you see the state of the world, wars. We're going to come into an election season soon. That's going to be crazy. We have a former president on trial. Okay. And you know me for sure, because I've preached a bunch of times about how politics has messed up a lot of Christians' minds. So just imagine this whole mixture of everything to that in the coming time, that how bad it could get. And we have to be the people that make the change. Okay? Because we're God's people. He's empowered us to do his will here on earth. So, now to to be, like to make any kind of change, we have to be the people who called God called us to be. I know during like COVID, one thing that we scripture kept hearing over and over is like, if my people would humble themselves, right? And it's not talking about the nation, right? The unbelievers, but who? His people. Us. So I just want to ask you is like, did you ever humble yourself? Do you feel humble? How is it you speak to people? How do you treat people? Is it in a manner of humility? So let's start out with this. And this is in Ephesians 6:10. And I'm sure a lot of people recognize it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, we have a defeated enemy.
Right.
He doesn't have any power. None. What he does have are schemes. The people who are unbelievers, they're called the sons of disobedience. And he has influence over them. So we know that there's less believers than there are unbelievers. So this world is full of people who do not believe in the name of Jesus. So schemes, like I said, are all that he has. But he's got a lot of people to carry out those schemes. And you know, just imagine what he's already done, right? From the beginning. As Randy was saying, for communion. Right? Mm-hmm. Just one bite of a fruit changed everything for everybody to come after. Yeah. And we're still living with the repercussions of that decision to this day. Right? And how did it start? Did Satan have some kind of like crazy powerful way to force them to eat the fruit?
No.
Or did he say, are you sure he said that you would die? Do you know if you eat of the fruit, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be just like God. That's a scheme.
Yep.
After the baptism of Jesus, he used scripture and said, isn't it true? Doesn't the word say this? And Jesus had to be the one to say, no, what it means is this. That's why it's important we know the word. And we have a deep understanding of it so we can't be swayed one way or the other. So, you know, the kind of schemes we'll see today are like, as I kind of mentioned before, is like, you know, government, right? Any kind of politics, groups of people, just, you know, pushing their agendas. And if you're to think about what that thing is that makes you angry right now, like, what are the kind of things you think about? Do you think, Lord, I pray for those people? Or are you thinking, how do I stop them? How do I get back at them? Right? We need to train ourselves to do otherwise. In Ephesians, it says, in your anger, do not sin. This is 4:26. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. There are times where we're going to get angry. I mean, it's just, you know, how we're built. But make sure your anger is a righteous anger. You're not holding anger because of some other reason. Not because you're losing control of something. Not because somebody wronged you and you want revenge. Not because I'll get to it. Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. But just like, because all these things that are coming against you that, you know, you don't want the change, you don't, you know, feel like, you feel like something's going to be pushed upon you that you don't want to endure. But the thing is that God is there with us at all times.
Yeah. Thank you.
And, you know, the enemy, he'll come for every one of us now. It says there's already false teachers in the church, and that was from way, way back in the day. I don't mean this church, but, you know, church, as in the body of believers, okay? But there, I mean, a lot of prevalent schemes today is like where the enemy, he'll give you a problem. So he'll create the problem, and then he'll give you the solution. He'll give you a group of people to say, you know what, we could stop this if we do this. Just think about government, like I was talking about before. It's like, look, that government, it hates you. It hates your God. It hates your people. You got to push back against that. And so the only way you're going to do it is if you put the right people or the right person in power.
Right.
Is that true? No.
Oh, no.
Who has the power?
God.
Yeah.
God. He has the power, he has the authority, and anything can change at any moment because God is who he is.
Amen.
You know, there's other times where they'll say this group, they want to change the things around you. They want to change your nation. And then, you know, you'll get angry about that. If it opposes God, yeah, we could get angry. But how we respond is important. Okay? Respond as Christians. But the word, the world, the enemy, he'll tell you this. He's like, you know what? Those people, they're out for you. You need to get them before they get you. And then he'll come up with things to call them, things to say about them, ways to degrade them. In fact, he'll have people make merch for it. So you can wear a t-shirt, put on a bumper sticker, post something online. So you can spread that message too. And then, people will take that as, look it, that's what a Christian is. So the enemy did exactly what he wanted to do. He made God look like less than he is. Not powerful. Not in control. Less than. Maybe not even real. And you know, when we think about other people who don't believe, you know, I think about in 1 Timothy, it talks about how God is, he wants everyone to be saved. You know, our God isn't slow to keep promises. Sometimes things don't happen because he's doing something. He's working towards something. So in 1 Peter, in this chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, it says this. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, if we are mistreated, Romans 12, 17, 18 says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay. Does that say with fellow believers? Everyone. And that could be one of the hardest things to do. Okay? But we're not supposed to do it under our own power. We've been given a gift. And he is the Holy Spirit. It's just us allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. And you know, the more and more you work at being somebody who's making peace with people, the more and more it becomes effortless. Just practice it over and over and over and practice making peace with people. Blessed are the peacemakers. So they shall be called children of God. Ephesians 6, 12 through 14 says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, who do unbelievers fight? People. And how do they fight? In each other, yeah.
Yeah.
And how do unbelievers fight? They fight with what they have in front of them, what they have, right? Physically. They don't have prayer. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have God's word. So this is what the believer is supposed to do. This is how we fight. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. So it sounds like we should be unmovable. Yeah. That, I don't know, we should stand. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If he says it twice...
you should probably do it.
Yeah, you should probably do it. So, let's go on then. Stand firm then.
Yes.
Okay. Third time, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So what is truth? The word is truth. God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's important that we start by knowing exactly what the word of God says. That we know God himself, which all of us can do. That's why Jesus died on the cross, is that so that we could have that personal relationship. Okay. You know, when you come up against something in your life, there's only so much other people can do for you. They can't tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. Only you can figure that out, because it's between you and God. People can help you, they can encourage you, they can pray for you, they can do things for you, but ultimately they cannot be the person God has called you to be. And when you're standing there before God on the day of judgment, it's only you and him. It's only you standing there to say why you did or didn't do what he wanted you to do. And truth is important. I mean, I just talked about it right now where it's talking about a powerless foe. One of the only things he really has are schemes. In Ephesians 4, and this is 14 to 15, it says this. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So it's this thing where we have to know the Word of God. We need to be on a solid foundation where somebody can't just come to us and say, are you sure that's what it says? Is that really what it means? So that they lead you down the wrong path. Pastor says it all the time. Take the scriptures I give you, take what I tell you, and read it in the Word for yourself to see if it is true. It is all of our responsibility to look at this and not just listen to people, but look in the Word ourselves and see if what is being said is true. And it says, instead of speaking truth, the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We're supposed to be working towards a goal, right? And, you know, I was kind of thinking, is like, why is it sometimes that, like, even with me when I was younger, like, why is it I'm not studying the Bible, like, as I should? Because, like, you know, I'd read it, I'd look at it, but, like, now, like, in the last, I don't know, 10 years-ish, it's, like, completely different how I study the Bible. I look at every single word and I say, why did you say that? Is there something special and unique about the word you chose in that sentence? And the thing is that, you know, like we go to school. A lot of us study pretty hard to get through high school or college. So why would we put in that kind of effort for that, but maybe not that kind of effort for God in the Bible? Because, you know, when this world passes away, is any of what we did here on earth really going to matter? If it's not for the kingdom, no. You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this. Is like, you remember, like, anybody get gold stars in school? Yeah. So you get gold stars and they're like putting the gold star on there. It's like, oh, good job. You're a great line leader today. You got us to the cafeteria without getting lost. Or, you know, you took care of the gerbil over the weekend. So, you know, imagine if you took something like that and then you went to a job interview and you're like, look at what I did. So this one said I colored inside the lines. The person would think you're crazy. They would think, what? This doesn't have any value here. I'm not going to hire you based on this. Right? Okay, there's so many things that we do on this earth that aren't going to have value in heaven. Okay? Because, I mean, we could, like I was saying, we could be there on Judgment Day right before God and saying, well, look, I had a great career. My kids, all of them got through school. You know, they all had families. They did great. It's like, okay, but what did you do for me? I wanted you to serve in this area. I gifted you this gift. Where's that? I don't see it on here. That other stuff has no value here. It's gone. Wiped away. It's meaningless now. We have to be the people that are focused on what's to come, not on what we see here. So one thing about truth is that it should always lead us back to loving people. Most importantly, God. Okay. In 1 John 3:18, it says this. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." It has to be this thing where we're not loving according to the way the world says you love people, but according to God's word. Because there's a lot of messed up ways that the world loves people. A lot of lies are told. A lot of rules are broken. And you know what? That kind of love is the type of love that's going to leave people depressed, sad, broken. But the truth, the love that comes from that, that's something that will change people, transform people. So then it goes on to the breastplate of righteousness. So, you know, I will say it took me a while to figure out what really is righteousness. Right? I hope the youth group knows now. Yeah. Yeah, they're not blurting it out. Because a lot of times there's certain words. And I've said before, is like, you know, it could just sound like Christianese. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, what does it mean to be holy? Yeah. I'm looking at the youth group again. Yeah. righteousness. You know, I found a really easy scripture that says what it is. And it's 1 John 3:7. So it says this, "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous." Amen. It's pretty easy, right? Do the right thing. Doing the right thing is righteousness. Now, there's a certain kind of a righteousness that Jesus imparts on us because of what he did on the cross. But when it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, it's talking about you doing the right thing. Okay? How do we know how to do the right thing? Know the Word of God. Yeah. Right? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah. So, you know, there's all these things where it's like, once again, the world might tell you, hey, this is the right thing to do. It's not nice. That's hateful, right? You can't do that. And if we listen to that, we listen to the masses instead of the Bible, we're going to be in error. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're not going to be covered by that. And doing the right thing, what does that usually lead to? Staying out of trouble, maybe? Right? Okay. Okay. You may not like there's times where you may offend somebody because you're doing the wrong thing. Now, if you offend somebody just because, and first of all, remember, speak the truth in love. But if you're speaking truth in love and people are still upset with that, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But I mean, if we're honest, if we say certain things, a lot of times it's going to be us causing the problems because of what comes out of our mouths. Right? Yeah. Let's see. Psalm 5:12 says this. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." And Psalm 55:22 says this: "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Amen. So, you know, there's a protection that comes from being a righteous person. There's a blessing that comes from being a righteous person. Right? You know, when you think about it, one of the most important pieces of armor is the breastplate. Amen. Right? It covers this. There's all these vital areas. Yeah. Right? The scripture says that guard your heart for everything you do. Everything flows through it. Yeah. So protect it by doing what's right. In the eyes of God, not as the world sees it. So Ephesians 6:15 says this: "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." When I see readiness, I think about how many times in the Bible it says that Jesus will return like a thief in the night. It says it several times. The word asks us to be ready at all times. In 2 Timothy, in this chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Be ready at all times with everything you need, because God asks us so." And Philippians 4, 7 says this: "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace that God gives us is a peace that we can't get anywhere else. But it's also a peace we need to understand. Because if we understand peace as the world understands peace, it's only peaceful when stuff's not happening. Right? But we can have peace at all times. If you don't have peace in your heart, oftentimes you'll do the wrong thing to defend yourself. You'll do the wrong thing to try to get that peace back. You'll start taking things from the world. It could be wrong relationships. Could be addictions. It could be just anything that takes your focus off of God. Even things that don't seem outwardly bad, but if your focus is only on that, it's wrong. It's idolatry. So then it says in Ephesians 6:16, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Faith. Faith is a powerful thing. Yeah. And, you know, one of those things too is like, you know, what exactly is a definition of faith? So we're not dealing with like the Christianese of like, well, just have faith, brother. let's look at Hebrews 11:1. "Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." How do we know what to hope for? Simple thing to go back to: know the word of God. Right? We can stand on his word. We can say, "God, your word says this. This is your promise." If he gives us all these promises, you know, and we know it's true, especially we're a believer. Because if we believe that he sent his son to live on this earth, to be an example for us, to live a blameless life, and then to die on a cross as the ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sins, then we better believe everything else that's in the Bible. We know that God is willing to sacrifice the thing he loves the most for us. I mean, think about that. I mean, we might be living our lives a lot differently if we were, had a constant reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us. I mean, if we actually look at everything that happened and he endured while he was there on that cross, before the cross. Because he just wasn't beaten and broken for us. They ridiculed him. They stripped him. Right? All these things. And if we remember that, if we understand the price that was paid for us, I think that we live our lives a lot differently. If especially if it's something we could see, imagine being there in that moment, seeing what was going on. So have faith, but also know what to have faith in. In Ephesians 6:17, it goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And just like I said, our salvation lets us know that God keeps his promises. That he made a sacrifice for us, and we have nothing to fear. Matthew 10:28-31 says this. And remember, because of salvation, we have this. It says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Amen. Remember the gift that you've been given with what Jesus did on the cross. Not only do we not have to experience eternal torment, that we get to live in paradise, but we have the Holy Spirit, somebody who's going to live life with us, empower us to do the things that God's called us to do. And even earlier in Ephesians, I think it's 2:10, it says, for you're God's handiwork. We're his masterpiece, created new in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he had prepared in advance. So like he took this time to make you and create you as something special, something unique, because he loves you. And not only did he do that, but he also gave you things to do. Amen. And if we accept those and we accept that purpose for our lives, you're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be angry all the time. You're not going to feel like there's a hole in your heart, that something's missing from your life. You'll be fulfilled because you are filling out the role that God has planned for you in advance. He does those things not because he wants us to be a slave to him. He's doing those things because he wants the best for us. Just like all the commands and, you know, the laws you see in the Bible. You know, the commands, we get those so that we know how to live a life as free as sin, from sin as possible. If we go back to the breastplate of righteousness, so that we do the right thing, so that we are protected. But also so that we have joy and we have peace. And if you feel like you've maybe done too much, that you can't be redeemed, you can't be loved by God, remember this, John 6:37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Just like the story of the prodigal son, he's expecting a return. And he's going to be excited when you do. So if that's you, don't feel like you're lost. Don't feel like there's no way to change. God is waiting with open arms. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is verses 3 through 5, it says this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the way we fight with, the way we fight is with truth. We have praise, we have prayer, and righteousness. We don't fight as the world fights. The way they fight is ugly. It's destructive. That's not God, who God called us to be. In fact, let's look at the book of Acts. And this is when they're in the upper room. This is chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. And Peter was talking to the people that were gathered there, and he was telling them what they had done to the one that was their savior, their Messiah, how they mistreated him. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That's even us today. For all whom the Lord our God will call. We are all called. We are all chosen. We were chosen before we chose him. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So think about that. These people who said, you know, as the people of Israel, the Jews, said, look what you did to your Messiah, your Savior. And then they said, well, what can we do? Repent, be baptized, right? So they accepted God in that moment. So this is truth. This is truth used as a weapon. But what did it do? Did it destroy their enemy? It saved them. And that's what truth will do if we use it properly. If we love in truth and we love with our actions, we can actually redeem those people that we see as the enemy. We can actually change the way people think and the way people act just by being who God called us to be. And it doesn't mean you just do whatever you want, right? like, well, I'll just go and I'm going to go evangelize in all these other places. I'm going to hand out tracts. I'm going to do every job in the church. It's like, no, it's not like that. It's like, we have to go back to, you have to find out exactly what God is asking you to do. So if you would, stand with me. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this place and this day, this body of believers, Lord. Thank you for the leadership you've put in this church. Lord, I just ask that you help us to have those hearts that are hungry for the truth, and that we want to live in that truth, and that our actions reflect that truth. And that, Lord, in everything we do it because we love you, and we do it because we love others. Help us to maintain our composure even when it's hard. Help us to be the people you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
You're dismissed. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.